are you? Once you answer that question, it determines what you feed on. We always win. We have already won. We are appropriating our victory. And that's what I'm asking. Who are you? Are you a survivor or a savior? We have entered the age of the governing church. A church that feeds on the diet of saviors. Our native weapon is prayer. Shekepa, out there with fasting. When your coast is too small, the scriptural accredited response is a fight.
It's called total immersion. Pour up a cup of sushi. Is a priesthood is interface with God to bring a change on the earth. That's what priesthood is. Simply put, priesthood is touching heaven and changing earth. You can write it down. That's what priesthood is. It simply means what? Touching heaven and changing earth. Interfacing with deity and changing things on the earth. That's what priesthood means. That's what priesthood means. Now, I was talking about dominion. Introducing dominion. Amen. The core is for this time space is priesthood. Listen. I told you that the central message or the central theme in God's mission statement for man was dominion, right? And then you can trace this thing. When you look at God's dealings with men, all through scriptures, you can trace this element of dominion in his voice as far as his expectations from those men are concerned. Have you noticed that? So in the things he tells people and what he expects from them, you will see that, you see that element of dominion. When he met Abraham, look at the message he gave him. There was dominion inside. He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. And through you shall the families of the earth be blessed. That's dominion. In fact, why am I going to Abraham? Starting from Noah. After the flood, when God came to him and spoke with him, he practically gave him the blessings of Adam. If you read it. Literally gave him the blessings of Adam in Genesis 10. He gave him the blessings of Adam. Praise God. Pure dominion. You can go home and read it. In fact, it looks so much like what he told Adam. We don't need to reread it. Now, he met Abraham and then told him, through you, I'll make your name great. That's dominion. Okay? And through you shall the nations of the earth be blessed. He said, becoming a blessing to the nations is dominion. Are we together? Shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you can see that when you look at the patriarchs, the same thing. He gave a similar message to Isaac. And Isaac truly lived in dominion. The Bible says in Gerar, where Isaac dwelt, in the days of famine, he became so prosperous, went forward prospering until he became very great. And the Philistines envied him. The Bible says he had servants, men servants, a storehouse of cattle, all kinds of things, right? So he had dominion over money. He had dominion over his sphere. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Jacob, the same thing. Joseph, the same thing. How could a foreigner become the prime minister of a nation? That's dominion. How together? And you see, look at the way the dominion works. God gave him an agro-economic plan, which was the answer of peace that Pharaoh needed. And that when he gave that answer of peace, a 14-year agro-economic plan, guess what happened? He became the prime minister. That was dominion. He says, for God had made me a father unto Pharaoh. The Bible says God placed him there to teach his senators wisdom, to rule them at his word, and to teach his senators wisdom. That's dominion, don't you think so? And to him, the seed of God, which was the house of Jacob, or the house of Israel, as it were preserved. That's dominion. In fact, from the vision that God showed him of the 11 stars, the sun and the moon bowing down to him, and of the sheaves, okay, bowing down to him, that was a picture of dominion. It's something you must get in your mind. You know, there are things, there are people who try to theologically, okay, take us out of the idea of dominion. I've heard people say this, that look, this dominionism is a false doctrine. Yes. In fact, there are Bible schools who teach that. Even though things are changing gradually, you may still meet them. So when you do teachings like this, they say, no, there's nothing like dominion. Okay, man was just supposed to have his sins forgiven and wait for his law to be taken. And the waiting period is God trying us if we really believed. Really? Really? God is a wise businessman. Business person, whatever you want to call. Really? The concept of dominion is enshrined, for lack of words, in scriptures. And this is why I'm tracing it from Genesis like that for you to see. You get to Moses, the same thing. How could a man go to Egypt and say, Pharaoh, let thus hear the God of Hebrews, let my people go. You know, Pharaoh was a god. Pharaoh was a man god who had other gods. He asked, okay, so which god? And then he gave an interesting name. I am. I am. And then he said, okay. Moses said, let me demonstrate to you that I am sent me. So he dropped his rod. He turned to serpent. Pharaoh, I can just imagine Pharaoh laughing. He said, oh, Moses, you learned some magic at the backside of the desert. It's good. It's good. It's good. Oh, yeah. Where are the magicians? Drop it. They dropped it. Their own two became a serpent. And then Moses' rod swallowed them. Pharaoh was not impressed. He said, they just need bigger rods. He wasn't impressed. Amen. He wasn't impressed. So, oh, another time they'll use bigger rods and do bigger snakes. It's not a big deal. Glory to God. Morabakaya. The fourth sign, the magicians confessed. They said, the magicians tried and could not do it and said, this is nothing but the finger of the Lord. What am I saying? You know, Moses went into Egypt with the spirit of dominion and brought those millions of people out and resettled them, of course, through Joshua later down in the promised land. So you can trace down to the New Testament. Jesus walked in dominion. So much dominion. So much. The demons literally cried out. Amen. What we call the Great Commission is a dominion mandate. It's a going through all the world and make students of the nations. That's a dominion mandate. That's dominion mandate. He said, go and make students, disciples of the nations. And no disciple can ever be greater than the yoga or the master. It's not possible. Did you get that? He started by saying, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Haya kebaya. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. When you get to Acts of the Apostles, the same thing. I mean, they say the men who have turned Jerusalem upside down, who have turned the world upside down, have come here also. You don't turn the world upside down by being a normal person. Are we together? It's dominion. Look at Paul's statement in Acts chapter 13, I believe verse 46, 47. He said, oh, seeing you have considered yourself unworthy of eternal life, we turn to the Gentiles. For by design, this gospel is supposed to have been first been preached to you in the synagogue when the Jews refused to believe. He said, since you consider yourself unworthy of eternal life, we turn to the Gentiles. For thus has the Lord commanded us, I have made you, giving you as a light to the nations, and for salvation to the ends of the earth. That's dominion. That's dominion. So all through scriptures, you see that worldview that God communicates to every man he deals with. Okay? You notice that worldview. And if you go home, you can research it yourself. You notice that worldview that is beyond putting body and soul together. That worldview that puts men in a position to legislate on behalf of God on the earth in different spheres. It doesn't matter. It could be in politics, in economy, in commerce. It doesn't matter. On the pulpit, it doesn't matter. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer, right? And to the ministry of the world. So appoint from among you deacons. Did you see that? So there's God's elite core in priesthood. There is. Hallelujah. So that's the first thing I want you to relate to the teaching about priesthood. Listen, no man, let me give it to you the way I wrote it. You see, for this kingly dominion, okay, leadership over spheres to be activated and come into fullness, God must always bring the person in contact with priestly custodians of the blessing. Write it down. For Abraham, he was Melchizedek. He was Melchizedek. Now, the first time the word priest was mentioned was in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Amen. And there we saw that the priesthood of Melchizedek blessed and brought Abraham into kingly dominion. Let's read it. Into kingly dominion. Is somebody with me? And I'm going to show you this from the scriptures. You see, anything Satan attacks has great power. So he attacks it so he can shroud and just cover the knowledge and the revelation to keep people in darkness so he can rule. Listen, Satan is the king of the kingdom of darkness. That means he can only rule in the domain where there is darkness. And the primary meaning of darkness is ignorance. Did you get that? This is why Satan, now the Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covers. Part of his strategy is to cover truths, is to cover realities. That's what he does. Okay, he covers them in different ways. He covers them by frank ignorance. He also covers them by veiling people's minds not to see the truth. He also covers them by sponsoring rumors, negative rumors, okay, scandals, as it were, concerning the truth of scriptures. So when you mention tithe, he has sponsored so much scandal that if you are not firm about the understanding of the principle, you become uncomfortable to even talk about it. How did he achieve that? Sponsoring scandals around it. Did you get that? That's what he does. So he just sponsors. And you see powerful principles in scriptures. You see him do that, speaking in tongues, the same thing. Oh, this would have just said blah, blah, blah. He sponsors scandals until people now become uncomfortable. They can't talk about it anymore. So something that is supposed to be for the whole body of Christ is now segmented and sequestered, maybe in a group of believers. He sponsors unrighteous scandal around truth. Never forget that. When you see there's a lot of contention about this subject, take time to study it. Don't let Satan just sway you, because that's part of his strategy. You think Satan doesn't have strategies? He does. He does. The same thing. Look at what he did about prosperity for many years. Do you know, at the point, even me myself, I couldn't talk about prosperity. Anytime I mentioned prosperity, I felt carnal. Believe me, this is your pastor, whose surname is Wealth. Amen. I felt carnal. Because that was my upbringing. I was brought up in an Orthodox, first in an Orthodox setting as a young guy. So, you see, doctrines are powerful. Hey! This is why the Bible calls them wind. Wind of, you know what wind means? Spirit. That means behind every doctrine is a spirit. And it's that spirit that controls people's lives. This is why you have to be careful where you put your head. You know, there are people, anywhere they say, there's prophetic going on here. They are there on Monday evening. They are there on Wednesday evening. You go and catch spirits you don't understand. When God blesses you with a local church and a pastor that has sense, stay there. And by the way, anointing does not come by going to different places. You have missed God. You just missed God. Go and ask the people who are anointed. Ask me, I'm anointed. I can tell you that. In my adult life, I'd only attended 2 churches. Where I was for 10 years. And then, after I was where I was before I came to start church. Do you understand? I personally hate instability. I personally hate it. Because it's a revelation of a defect in a person's character. And the earlier it's dealt with, the better. Watch people with these unstable characteristics. Watch their relationships. It overflows there too. Watch the things they do. Okay. The things they want to do this. They have not finished. They have left it. They want to do this. They have not finished. They have left it. They want to do this. Watch us. They are the ones who are likely coming to tell you that their season in the church is over. And where they are going, their season 2 will be over very soon. Are you here? Don't just put your head. Error. What am I saying? I said doctrine is a spirit. I think that's what brought me here. He calls it not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So spirits, power, doctrine. So the power of a doctrine is beyond what has been said. The spirit behind it will land on you sooner or later. Sooner or later. Did you get that? Sooner or later. I have many stories to tell you. It's not for today. They are not good stories. They are not good stories. You see, people go to a certain place and their flesh gets empowered in a notorious way. You know there's a problem. Flesh empowered. No more mouth control. All kinds of words comes out of their mouth. All kinds of things. You see somebody who was in a place that was alive. We don't see the person anymore. You hear that the person is camping with a man somewhere, camping with a woman somewhere. Something went wrong. That one is not just backsliding. Something fell on them. And then they used to pray for 4 hours before, 5 hours before. Now, it's prophetic shaking of head. And dancing. They say, let's pray. They can't pray. I have real life stories to tell you. Are we here? I've taught you here before. How do you discern the spirit of error? Number one, the way of Cain. Number two, the error of Balaam. Number three, the gainsayings of Korah. It's in the book of Jude. Once you see these things in any form, you know the spirit of error is at work. What's the way of Cain? He was going about slaying his brother. When you're in a place and the person is always cudgeling, always talking against men of God, always talking against his contemporaries, always talking against... Let me tell you, no matter the depth of your revelation and the intensity of the anointing in your life, the day you talk against fathers, you are wrong instantly. Did you get that? You are wrong when? Not tomorrow. No, with your accurate revelation and the power of God in your life, you are wrong. Did you get that? You are instant. Maybe you write it somewhere on the line that instantly. The day the person opens his mouth to insult fathers or speak derogatorily about the father of faith or the people who are here, who have labored in the land, in the country, in the name of accuracy of doctrine or accuracy of operation, you are wrong instantly. The way of Cain. Going about slaying his brother. And you know what motivated Cain? His envy. Just that people don't say it. His envy. In the process of time, he saw how the life of Abel went. And then he saw his own life and became envious. And slew him. That's how you know. Anybody talking against men of God? Maybe this one. It doesn't matter whether his doctrine is right and his anointing. I say he is wrong instantly. Because that is not God's order. It's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. Some are as bold as calling the names. You've seen them now. You're sitting calmly. You've seen them. Stop watching them. Oh, they will pollute your spirit. You know, why am I saying this? Error is this. I say doctrine is what? A spirit. So it's beyond the words you're hearing. It's a virus that once it enters your mind, it will take you time to delete it. To have your antivirus just at the door. Hey, pass. I can't hear this kind of thing. The way of Cain. Number two, the error of Balaam. When money is motivation, money Money, just observe. Anywhere you see money is motivation, somebody's following you behind, they come to your house and say, you are driving this car, your pastor doesn't even have this kind of car. I'm going to bring you to the man of God. Look at your phone, sir. Bring it to my office. You know? And then every Sunday, the pastor is raising seed. Do you understand? And you see manipulations. And I'm not talking about seed. Even seed for the house of God. It can't be. Teach people God's word now. Just that this is all we need to do. Talk. Give. Okay. But you know, somebody came one time like that. That was the last time he can ever come here. You know, so I just quoted him to raise prayer. To just come and bless the people. He just, there's an atmosphere. Another. Just come with a seed. Or just come with a seed. He said, just raise a seed. So my brethren, they are not used to it. They thought it was seed. They carry their seed. He said, no, drop his seed. He said, seed. He said, just bring a seed forward. I was just quiet. You see why people cannot go find ministry? I was just listening. So this is the last time this dear man of God can ever, if he ever comes to church, you sit down. I may not even introduce yourself. Amen. All the money you collected, how much was it? I carried the money. Carry the money and give you. Now share his money. Take and go. The error of Balaam. Money being motivation. Very wrong. Now it doesn't mean money is needed in ministry. So if you're a part of a church and you are not consistently giving and you're not dreaming to increase your giving, you're a bad person. So that I give you the balance. Money is used for ministry. If you're a responsible Christian, we don't need to say it twice. Do we need to say it twice? So if you are waiting to be reached, to be cajoled, you're a bad person. Pardon my word. It's with the pain of don't be like that. Meaning you should not be cajoled. Do you understand? Naturally, as a responsible Christian, you tell yourself, look, money is needed for this thing. Lord, give me money to give big. Do you understand? And then personally, dream of giving bigger before you are told. Praise God. So the error of Balaam, when money is motivation. The third one is against saying of Korah, rebellion against authority. So when you see that, the spirit of error is at work. How did I get here? I see error is a spirit. Listen, when God wants to activate and bring anybody into the fullness of their kingly dominion, what does he do? He brings you in contact with priestly carriers of the blessing. Listen, Abraham already had the promise, but the Bible says Melchizedek blessed him that had the promise. Are we together? Melchizedek blessed him that had the promise because he can't break into that thing. He can't. Listen, here, this dominion is more than money. Abraham already had money, but it's more than money. It's more than money. Abraham defeated four kings that defeated five kings, right? Chedlahoma, the bully, right? He defeated him. But listen, that did not make Abraham a king. He didn't have no domain. At best, he was a mercenary. Praise God. He wasn't a king. He didn't have domain. They called him Abraham the Hebrew. He was going from place to place. And then he met this man who looked at him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. Possessor of the heavens and the earth. He brought him into kingly dominion. He gave him a possession, heaven and earth. He gave him a domain, heaven and earth. That means contact with these priestly carriers will bring you into your estate. It bring you into your estate. Are you following me? This thing is everywhere in scriptures. It's not just Abraham. Can I show you another one? Moses. We'll go back to read Genesis 14. Let me rush first. Then I'll go back there. We'll read it. Moses, listen. You see here, the children of Israel in Goshen had lost priestly practices. They didn't have priests. There were no sacrifices. Therefore, the blessing could not work. That was what happened. It was lost. There were no priests among them. God had to institute. But question, were there priesthood before that time? Yes. Yes. Their great-grandfather, Abraham, met a priest. His name was Melchizedek. They were priests.
Even in Egypt, the Egyptians had priests.
I'm going to get there. I need you to follow me.
But you see, they lost the priesthood. They lost the way of priesthood. They lost the way of priestly practices. What was the natural consequence? Slavery.
Slavery.
Now, for a man to be able to bring them out, Malekepaya, he couldn't have done it in the energy of the flesh. He attempted to do it in the energy of the flesh by killing one of them. They chased him out. When Pharaoh heard it, he was going to kill him. He ran. In the running, God directed him to a strange man called Jethro, the priest of Midian. The man was a priest.
All right, let us read scriptures. Are you ready for this thing? Exodus 2, 16 to 20. Reuel and Jethro. Reuel, his name is Jethro. Put it up. Exodus 2, 16 to 18.
That means 40 years he walked with a priest. The priest of Midian. He was like a custodian of priestly practices. Just like Melchizedek was a custodian. You know, it's as though everything is lost. And then God will carry the man and direct his steps to meet a custodian of this priesthood. That also happened to Melchizedek. That also happened to Abraham. God directed his step. He met this man and he entered into it. The same thing with Moses. Since there was no priesthood in Goshen, nothing was happening. God had to arrange circumstances to direct him to a priest. When you hear priest of Midian, don't think of a heathen. Midian was the son of Abraham that Keturah gave birth to. Check Genesis 25. So we're talking about a direct descendant of Abraham who was the custodian of priesthood. Are you blessed? You can go to Genesis 25. It's there. He was one of the sons of Keturah, was Midian. Jethro was a great grandson of Abraham.
So let me read it to you now. Go to Genesis 25. Since we'll read scriptures, it's totally immersion. Genesis 25.
So you have to know how to respond appropriately to this elite core priesthood. You have to learn, because it is this priestly office that delivers territories into people's hands. That is what I'm trying to say. Are you getting it? That is what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. That means nobody can enter anywhere until it means contact with this elite core of priesthood and have the inheritance activated. Then you enter into the fullness of your kingly dominion. Watch this. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was what? Keturah. Next verse. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, and Midian. Ishbak and Shua. Midian. So that Midian was the son of Abraham. Remarkable. But that is the one that has been schooled in priesthood. So God had a way of preserving it in somewhere. When my people lose it, I reintroduce them. I reintroduce them. Ah, that looks like what happened. I reintroduce them. Go to Exodus now. Exodus 2, 16 to 18. I need speed. It's totally martial. It's totally martial. Be immersed. Are you blessed? Things are happening to you now. You have no idea. You see, now the priest of Midian has 7 daughters. This was after Moses ran away. So we're dealing with the priest of Midian. And they came and drew water and filled the troughs of water to water their father's flock. These were hardworking ladies. Next verse. Do you know what it means? Do you know what it means? You remember Rebecca? In fact, she was the one I had in mind. Do you know what it means to feed camels? Do you know how camels drink? After a long trip. Alright. And the shepherds came and drove them, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks. Next verse. And when they came to Reuel, their father, that's Jethro. That's another name for Jethro. Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon?" And they narrated what happened to him. All right, so that is Jethro there. Go to Exodus 18, 1 to 12. Let me just show you his priesthood now. Nobody met a priest and remained the same. There's nobody who understands how to take advantage of this thing. In this, that, you know, I say it's two forms. This one, and then we'll enter into talking about priestly practices for a believer. So you can see this. And when Jethro is a long read, look at this. You can now see it now. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses, back to where he met him, he spent 40 years with him, got married to the daughter, lived there. He taught him things. He was a priest, remember, before he met him. Now this 40 years later, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people. And the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Verse 2. But reading down to like verse 10 or 12. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he has sent her back. Mm-hmm. Now, this is why you understand that Zipporah was a daughter of a priest. When the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, because there was no circumcision, she took a sharp stone and circumcised, because she was a great-granddaughter of Abraham. This is Keturah's children. Do you understand? These are Abraham's seed. Am I talking? He quickly, Moses, they had lost touch with priesthood. That was the problem. They were there in Goshen, in Egypt, suffering. They had lost touch with priesthood. But this is a daughter of a priest. The Bible says she took a sharp stone and circumcised the stone. And the anger of the Lord was stayed back. Priesthood. Let's journey. And her two sons, of which name of one was Geshom. And he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. For he said, I've been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the second was Eleazar. For the God of my father, he said, was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. You know, he named his children based on his experiences. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped. Now, Moses had become a national prophet and a leader of a nation. Don't forget. Where he encamped at the Mount of God. But that was the beginning of his journey. He had delivered them. That was not enough. He had to carry them through the wilderness. Okay. And he said to Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, thy wife and thy two sons with her. Next verse. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance. This is your prophet doing obeisance for a priest. You get it tomorrow. Now, that is that honor response. I will show you another verse. That is that honor response. That body language of honor. You know, Abraham responded with the tithe. This one responded with obeisance. We'll see shortly that even Jethro brought forth bread and wine. Let's read. You see, he met with his father-in-law, did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. Verse 8. You don't break into big things without priesthood backup. No. And Moses, that the question is, who is consistently speaking as a priest into your life? All right. And Moses told his father-in-law that what the Lord had done in Egypt for Israel's sake, and all this travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Verse 9. And Jethro rejoiced for all of the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the land of Egypt. Verse 10. Look at this. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord. This is not a heathen man. This is a son of Abraham. He said, blessed be the Lord who had delivered you out of the land of Egypt and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who had delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptian. Probably he had been an intercessor waiting for that day to come. He said, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the things wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. That means he subdued their pride. This is Jethro talking. This is a priest talking. Next verse. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed for God And Aaron came and all the elders, and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father. He, are you getting the picture now? He took bread. And they don't take that bread without wine. So Aaron and all the elders of Israel came, and then he broke bread and gave them. Are you blessed already? Let me show you one more scripture. Numbers 10, 29 to 31. All right, so after offering sacrifice, so we're dealing with a priest here. Offering sacrifice, Moses made obeisance, and then he rejoiced, gave thanks. Offer sacrifice on the Lord and broke bread. And the elders of Israel and Aaron came and then ate with them. Look at what Moses said. Look at what Moses said. Are you there? 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. So you can see his different names. Some are title names, and then the other one is his real name. Do you understand? He knows it's a gift title name. Every Nebuchadnezzar has his main name. But when you become king, they call you Nebuchadnezzar. Do you understand? Like Pharaoh's. Ramses was his name. The Pharaoh that was there before Moses came. But see, they address him as Pharaoh. Do you understand? All right. So he said to Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. Who was he talking about? Jethro. He said, we are journeying. This is Moses talking. We're journeying to a place of which the Lord said, I will give unto you. Come with us, and we will do you good. For the Lord has spoken concerning Israel. Next verse. So this is him compelling his father-in-law to come with him. That shows honor. Praise God. And he said unto him, I will not, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. So he was going back to Midian. Look at this. And he said, please don't leave us. This is a man that experienced God. Do you understand? God had given a word of promise. In fact, there are many lessons to learn from here. But he insisted, sir, come with us. For as much as you know where we were camped in the wilderness, that thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. Meaning so that you be our eyes in the wilderness. This is Moses, the man that skyped with God. Amen. Praise God. Are you seeing this? So, after that encounter with Jethro, we see that Moses entered into his authority as a king. The Bible says, for he was king in Jethro. He was king in Jethro. Praise God. And then that leadership thing came upon him. And then his ministry continued. Praise God. That's all to the wilderness now. Are we together? Joseph, the same thing. When Joseph was to become the prime minister of Egypt, entering into kingly authority, God connected him with the priest. The Bible says that day they gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Did you get that? Why would they give him a daughter of a priest to marry? How did David become a king? He met Samuel. He was a man, a young man in the wilderness, until this strange priest came from Ramah and came to Bethlehem, their father's house. When he comes, people tremble. And then anointed him. He became, his life changed. Nobody was there, was just his brethren. But it makes no difference. The exchange has happened. I'm rushing you. I can take you step by step. Our dear Lord Jesus could not break into his kingly authority until he encountered John the Baptist, a priest by descent. John the Baptist was the son of Zechariah the high priest, in case you forgot. That's the lineage of priesthood. Have I tied this enough for you? You are going nowhere. You know what Jesus says? He says, suffer it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. For no man enters into territory without a priest releasing him. Did you get that? That's your Lord Jesus. He said, suffer it to be so. Hanuman. That means what the size of the destiny that Jesus was carrying was greater than that of John the Baptist. But it makes no difference, sir. It makes no difference. It is not about the size of destiny. He said, this has to happen. Suffer it to be so. For any man to take territory, he saw it from the life of his father Abraham. For him to become the possessor of the heavens and the earth, which is territorial, a priest called Melchizedek had to bring him in. He saw, he said, suffer it to be so, sir. Lay hands on me, put me inside this water. And then the heavens opened. No man goes anywhere without contact, vital contact with the priest. None. Listen, every nation that has sense doesn't joke with priesthood. Have you noticed? In the days of Joseph, in the days of the famine of... Time will not permit me to read. You can go to Genesis 45 and all that. In the days of the famine in the land of Egypt, when Joseph was buying the land in exchange for food, they told him, don't touch the land of the priest. So go and read it. Because no serious nation jokes with priesthood. That is your life. That is the back end of the kingly authority. The man that sits on the throne, his back end is the priesthood. He may be in the bush. Oh, did you get that? So that priest inside the bush or inside one settlement in Ramah is the back end of the throne. You touch him, your kingdom is gone. Go and ask Saul. Well, Saul did nothing but tear the garment of the priest. God say, Saul, you don't understand this thing. You have torn your kingdom. You have torn your... You don't understand this thing. That the back end of this your throne is priesthood. He just tore the garment. The kingdom dissolved from his hands. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? They said the cornies are feebles, but they hide inside the rock. The wisdom of the cornies. Learn how to hide in God's institution of the anointed. That's the rock there. That's what he's saying. That means no matter how feeble you are, if you learn how to hide in the rock, you will be preserved and you will go far. Am I talking? Priesthood. 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 And the funny thing is, you know, like we saw in Saul, what's his name? Saul, that first king of Israel. All he did by mistake, he tore the garment. He said, please now come. He tore. He said, tore, your kingdom has torn. You know what that means? Let me tell you. That means you deal with caution around priesthood. That means this anointing matter is a delicate stuff. That means you should be concerned that your pastor is not smiling towards you. That he's not happy. You should be concerned. Don't say that is his business. And don't say I'm right. You should be concerned. Have you not seen in the Bible that God does not do right and wrong? Moses said, don't marry foreigners. But Moses liked black women. First was Egyptian, then Midian, then Ethiopian. Amen. Okay, Moses. Amen. He went and married an Ethiopian wife, right? He likes dark skin a lot. Amen. And an Ethiopian woman. He was the one that said they should not marry outside. Shagavaya. Kai. Why do you think, listen, if you understand God's order and system, you'll be at rest. Do you think God cannot make everybody in Egypt to fall asleep, including the king, and then the people go? God cannot do that. The king has to issue the word, okay, go, because God honors authority. He honors authority and protocol. He cannot break those laws. So he had to bring the king to a point where he said, okay, go. So by the word of the king, they left. God and order. God and order. You know, the dealings about the birth of Jesus started with Mary. She saw the angel, she conceived. After that conception, you know who was seeing angels and receiving instruction? Joseph. Not the one with the baby Jesus. Joseph. Joseph. God honors order. Once you know this thing, you rest. They say, call him out. That doctor is wrong. That man of God, what he did, I only talk like, no, call him out. Let's call out. We are not the people that call out to. Hold on. Hold on. You see, Bob, people don't read their Bibles very well. Are you seeing the instances I'm giving you? Among the sons of Noah, after the flood, who drank alcohol? Talk to me now. Who drank the alcohol? Who got naked? Who got into trouble? No, it's Ham. It's Ham. Just one, Ham. Who got into trouble? The one who went to broadcast was the one who got into trouble. The man who drank, who got naked, was not God's concern. The one who received the curse was the one who went to talk to. And the broadcast is among siblings. Who, hi. Anointing is delicate. He was the one, he went to say, Baba is naked, he's drunk, and he spoke, God saw his heart, that he spoke derogatory. He lost the blessing. He lost. Can you imagine? He was not the one that drank, he was not the one. He just wanted to see what he saw. See, the old man is, see, around God, you must understand order. You must understand order. We don't call out to. We are not a woke church. Is it call him out? Really? People enter into everlasting confusion. And you can't explain why. You are praying for them. Listen, one of the things, you see, when Satan's oppression is getting too high, too long rather, you are praying and fasting. One of the things you should sort out is repentance in the things you did in dishonor. Is everywhere in scripture. Do you understand? God does not joke with institutions. That's one of the things you will learn. God does not joke with his institution. With the things he instituted. That's why I wrote that honor is the love response to God's institutions. Ham got into trouble. The guys, Miriam and Aaron, got into trouble. So it's delicate stuff. Delicate stuff. And the anointing has intelligence. I've taught you before. It just the man of God is not the one using the anointing. The anointing is the one using the man of God. So the anointing sees your face as you come around the man of God. It sees your face and sees your heart. It's better not to go close. We don't. It's better not to go close. If you are told, don't just, a person stays far and you can't take it, you stay far and be quiet. Like a man of God says, he says, this thing is not right and wrong. It's wrong, I'm right. I'm wrong, it's right. It's the righteousness of God. I've given you enough examples from scriptures. There are many more. There are many more. So when you see us, imagine some funny people in Nigeria were calling out Kenneth Copeland for his involvement in American election. I say people are mad, though. People are mad. No, I'm not talking about people who are supposed to be New Testament charismatic Christocentric Word of Faith preachers. I say you are mad. Because you can't keep quiet, Abi. You can't keep quiet. You are dragging Kenneth Copeland. You are dragging Kenneth Copeland. Because you have revelation. Because you have followers on social media. You are mad. And is that understanding of God's system? Listen, oh. It's not about his wrong, oh, I'm right. In fact, my eyes are not trained to see the wrongs of the anointed. My eyes are not trained. I say that again. My eyes are not trained to see the wrongs of the... My eyes are not trained. I did not receive the training. I refuse it. And I will never receive that training. See the wrongs of the anointed. No, I can't receive it. I have sense. If the person can't take it, if I can't take it, I move. And move with whatever you know, dying with you. Die. It cannot be talked about, not even with your wife or husband. That what happened? Anointing matter is delicate. Are you here? No. Aren't you concerned that God will have to get Pharaoh's permission to get his children out? It should make you concerned that God would tell Joseph, carry this boy to Egypt for some time. When the coast is clear, bring him back. God. No, think about it. Omnipotent God. This is why you must... Oh, can I say this? You must understand that sometimes dominion, sometimes victory can come as deliverance, and sometimes it can come as dominion. That means there are times where it's dominion. They are shooting you to not enter. But many times, the way victory comes is you will not be where they are shooting. Your car will refuse to start. Or the Holy Ghost will tell you, go back inside. Did you get that? That's deliverance. It may not look spectacular, but that's victory. It may not be action, James Moore. Say the shot. Yes, I chased all the bullets. The car turn. I came out alive. Or do you understand? It's not necessary. Sometimes it can happen. But you must understand that many times deliverance is also victory. It's also victory. It's also victory. You don't know why you can't go out of your house. You go out and go back, you forgot something again. And come out to start the car. Hey, you forgot something again. And come out, hey, this is my lipstick. I have to use this one today. And go back again to go and carry it. And then come back. And you are wondering, you're almost 1 hour of the time you plan. The Spirit of God is bringing victory to deliverance most times. And it's a valid method of victory. So why didn't he kill Herod and everybody? You see? Look. And you see, our decision is to accept whatever method of victory that God chooses. Do you understand? You choose the method of victory that God chooses. Right? And that's a work of faith. There is no faith without the leading of the Spirit. Write it somewhere. Life is a delicate balance between the realm of the spirit and natural things. So sometimes it may look like God is telling you to take natural steps. It's a balance. A delicate balance. There's no faith without the leading of the spirit. Amen. So faith doesn't mean because he says wherever you go, he will protect you. And you know in your heart, the spirit is restraining you. Don't enter the aircraft. Okay, don't go to that place. Leave your trip till 12. You don't feel like traveling. And first say, what if it's not strong? If it's coming from God and you're a child of God, it will be strong. It will be strong. It will be so strong. You can't deny it. Everything. Oh, there was a dear man of God who was part of the last crash in the country, 2012 or so. He was the last to enter the aircraft. It pained me. In fact, they had to call them. Everything was frustrating his trip. Literally everything. Of course, this thing you are learning, take it seriously. This is life and death. You can make a difference between life and death. You can make a difference. We heard a story of a dear woman of God in this country who died in a plane crash. I heard the story. I don't know how true, but I heard it from a very reliable person. But the husband later said that she kept saying, I don't want to go to Port Harcourt. I don't want to go. Just that they've invited me before, I couldn't go. This one, I don't know what to tell them. That's why I'm going. I just don't feel like going for that meeting. That I don't feel like going, that is victory by deliverance. I'm not carnal, don't feel like going. No, it will be strong. It will be strong. It will be strong. And sometimes I listen to my children very well. Ah. And I say, so what did you say? Say it again. Especially the older one. I just listen. because I look for God. I look for God around me. Do you understand? I look for God. I look for God. Very important. Your personal recognition system will pick it. And you know, this is God talking. That's the minister years ago that died in a plane crash. They came to the airport. The son looked at the mother. He said, "Mommy, didn't daddy know that this plane is going to crash?" The plane had not left. Plane crashed. Are you kidding? Doesn't daddy know this plane is going to crash? So you now treat it like child's talk. No. Except you have picked it and you have subdued it. Because sometimes God can give you yellow light. Red means don't go. Yellow means you can go, but be careful. Then green means peace, peace, peace. Do you understand? Those are the three lights of God's leadings. Rise to your feet. Make patasila koprakopato sushta prokopato leda kaprakapato sushta. Sapri pekopato sushto leda kaprakapato sushto leda kaprakapato sa. Subra papato seledika prodosushta poradila kaprakato sushta. Breaking out in manifestation. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus. From my left to my right to online. Shatter the people outside. Oh, I know your presence is here. I know your power is here. At the count of seven, when we count seven, you will shout Jesus, and then there will be distributions of the Holy Ghost according to what is needed. Liga barabababa. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now at the seventh count, you will shout Jesus, and then I receive. You will see what will happen. Probably you will be visions and trance. There's such a heavy anointing of the Spirit. Miracles, miracles, all categories of miracles and impartations. I'm seeing testimonies instant, 24-hour. Some of you in a week, all kinds. Are you ready for the seventh? You will shout, Jesus, I receive. And plastic tongues. Some of you, the fire of the impartation, like a patos. Are you ready? 7. Jesus, receive. Receive. Yes, yes, help her. Prophetic assistance. Alakapa. Celebronda Kibarapaya Regabelaton Scapa Pelatosa Shabala Combelatosa Shabala. Are you seeing that? Yes, prophetic assistance for your family, for your health. Yes. Take. If you could not hear, begin to hear. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over fear, over the spirit of fear. I take authority over the spirit of depression. Makotapaya. In the name of Jesus, I arrest you. Get out of my mind. Get out of his mind. Now. I come against depression. You depressive devils, hear me, on your marks. Get set. Go. Get out of her. In the name of Jesus. Likapata, receive. Those of you who need academic miracles, receive. Receive. Manasseh, lift your hands. Come here. Selaga Brunda. You are Manasseh, right? Lift your hands. I see the fire of the Lord coming upon you. Yes. I'm seeing the Lord increase your ability. Yes. I'm seeing spiritual assistance. Fire. Palatoska. Selaga Brunda Kopataya. Liga Brunda. Lift your hands.
Zika, receive, 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 receive.
Grace. Grace.
Make patola cobra di capaya. Zemila tomba talapandas kata. Zolia tomba ricas kabatana. Zelia tama mama tela tasa. Yes.
Grace.
Grace. Is that Ruth? Shabalados. Yes. Enter into the new. Yes. Yes. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Just carry them. Bring them out. Under the power. Oh my God. Shabalatosa. Liga brondos kapa. Liga brondos istapora. Yeah, 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 yeah. More, Lord, more, more, more. Give her more. Give her more. Give her more. Stand behind her. Liba kora bakapa. May the Lord feed your hungry soul. Hila bakapa. Prophetic assistance. Prophetic assistance. Prophetic assistance. Prophetic assistance. Prophetic assistance. Prophetic assistance. A pain just left. A pain just left. A pain. Just bring them out. Usher, just try and bring them out. Bring her here for me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Fire, fire, fire. New season. New season. Take. Yeah, just put them out. You can put some of them up here. Bring her up here. In the labado semananani, yela banano ne na 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 ne ne, yela banano semananani, yela kova samane, yela ba. I'm seeing mighty testimonies breaking out of this place. You will say, Pastor, somebody remembered me and gave me money. Lift your hands. I release the wind of remembrance. I release the wind of remembrance. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I unlock the mystery of remembrance on your behalf. That means suddenly the kings cannot sleep until they look for you to show you favor on account of the works of Jesus. Lift your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Liga Bakam. There's somebody here for a while. Nobody has shown you favor. Nobody has given you money. Nobody has done anything for you. It's as though there is a mark of disfavor around you. In the name of Jesus, I stand upon this holy altar. I remove that garment and I put upon you the garment of favor. Let the Holy Ghost locate those people. Let him locate those people. Liga, at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Help her, help her, help her, help him, help him, help him, help him. Shapa kai kai. What a night. The power of God is here. Shabbat. Free. 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 In the name of Jesus. Makopa. For some of them, this is the Spirit of the Lord initiating them into a new call in the Spirit. Bringing them into new corridors of the supernatural. Into new corridors of power. Zeba, bring. Those who just went on the power of the anointing, bring them forward. Bring them. Just bring them. Let me lay hands on them. That young man, bring him. Bring him. Carry him properly. Just carry him. Malatos, bring him here. Bring him here. Put him on the ground. And help him. Bring her here. Yeah. Yes. I see a new garment too. A new garment of favor. Yes, the kings are entreating your favor. Kings, 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 kings. Yes, yes. I'm seeing a fresh fire. Fire! Help her. Help her. Take. Help. Bring her here. That one, that one. Alakapa, No, 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 no. That lady, they have not laid hands on her. Leave her on the ground. I'll pray for her. Jabalada kapa. Yes. Fire! People, carry her. Yes. In the labo senabanadi, yours is meeting you where you are. Jesus. Yes. Let the Lord do a quick walk of fire. Irakapatosa. Entola brunda sister. Emjela da brunda sister. Pora de la dosa. There was somebody under the power there. Have they brought the person out? Okay, that's her. Liga Barado celebrate. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Just bring him. Bring that young man here. Up here. Up here. Impartations of the Spirit, yes. Carry the fire to the nations. Carry the fire to the nations. Yes, block him. Carry the fire to the nations. Ilabanadon selidadum. Iladon de deboda. You will hear testimonies that will come forth from today. Ah, Pastor, somebody remember me. Somebody who has not called me since called me. And showed me where is she hurrying to. Bring her here. Shalagapra. Somebody remembered me. Kule. Somebody is remembering you. Lift your hands. In the name of Jesus, let the wind of remembrance. Come and stand here. Let the wind of remembrance. Let the wind of remembrance. Of God's mercies. Yes. Yes. And out of your belly, let that which has been locked up begin to find expression. I'm seeing an anointing for leadership. Yes. Let it begin to find expression. I'm seeing a grace for finances. Let it begin to find expression. I see marriage around her. I'm seeing family. Family ministry. When she wakes up, I'll talk to her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now my green headache is gone. Now my green headache is gone from you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. You know, God's glory is so strong in this place. It can't be denied. Lift your hands toward heaven. Celebronda sushta pora de la capasa. Entola bronda sushta pa. Jalada capronda sushta pa. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Give you honor. Where is Pastor Godwin? When you are there, oh, Kalado Semani, Elano Sunamanano, Elano Somananini, Sobana, 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 Sobana. Put them on the ground now. Why are they putting them on the seat? I'm seeing marriage written all over you, on your face. I'm seeing family ministry. I'm seeing the Lord using you to heal marriages. I'm seeing the Lord using you to restore the family system in a major way. I don't know what you do. I don't know who you are. But I'm seeing two things. Number one, marriage written on you. And number two, family ministry. The zeal of the Lord is performing it. In the name of Jesus. Sandra, come. Sandra, right? The Lord has called to you. You don't need to kneel. Stand. Just stand. The Lord has called you. You can lift your hands. You have a heavy call of God on your life. Prepare for it. Don't try to follow the natural pattern of others. You are very different. It may be painful, yes. Prepare for a call of God. Find a strong local church where you have a future and start serving. I'm seeing you standing before people and instructing them in the way of the Lord. For the Lord has put his anointing upon you. I'm seeing the angels of the Lord pour oil on you, and I know what that means. I'm seeing the fires of the Spirit touching your tongues. I'm seeing the Lord consecrating your mouth for his use. Yes, so be strong. Be strategic. Of course, be under government. That's important. But the Lord is using you. I'm seeing an intercessory and a prophetic fountain. Not on weird stuff. Not the weird things that people are doing. I'm seeing intercession, prophetic, and teaching. Lift your hands. Lord, total immersion, right? We love you. Can we lift our hands and worship him?
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.